Good morning. Let's pray for the kids as they head out to Sunday school. Father God, we thank you, Jesus, for this moment of just coming together. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you just be central at this time, that we just be so aware of your presence. Lord God, we thank you for our children and the children you've blessed us with. Lord God, we just ask that you just be with them now as they head to Sunday school. Bless the teacher, speak through them. Lord, we thank you for the gift of life and the life that the children bring. We just pray you continue just to raise them, Jesus, so they grow in a powerful way in the name of Jesus. Pray now as we come before you in your word that you open our hearts and minds, that this be an opportunity we just grow closer to you, that you use me despite my many, many weaknesses, Father God, that this just be all for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I'd like to say also happy Father's Day. We've only been here 9 months, but we know we are blessed here with so many great fathers, and so we thank you guys. Well, I'm going to have a two-second Oprah moment. As I was thinking of Father's Day, what saddens me is in society, certainly what we experienced in the UK, was the level of a good father was of such of a good father is someone who just sticks around. Like in the community that we were in, there was many single moms. And when you hear them on the playground talking of their partners, boyfriends, ex-boyfriends, whatever, fathers of their children, you'd hear too often, oh yeah, he's a good guy, he'll visit once a month, or you know, he's still around, he's a good guy, he sticks around. I'm thinking, it breaks my heart if that's the level of a good father, of sticking around. That's just a done deal, as far as I'm concerned. That's not a level of good or not, that's just a responsibility of a parent. And so as we grow in our outreach and reaching out, we're going to be dealing and visiting with and loving on single parents and young couples. And we got to be a church that is empowering fathers and mothers to be thriving, not just sticking around, but to be a thriving father, a thriving mother, one that's going to be one that's going to get on the hands and knees, one that's going to be there in the high moments and low moments. And we thank God that here in this church, and even those who maybe aren't with us today, we have fantastic fathers who the level isn't just, I'm going to stick around, is I'm going to thrive in this role. And we thank you, fathers, for thriving in your children's lives and your family's lives. So we thank God for you. We're going to look at the Word now. That was my Oprah moment, done. And today's scripture that we're looking at is actually today's reading. So if you're a little bit behind or a lot behind, well, today we're going to catch up at least by one. So, woohoo, I'm helping each other out here. And it's going to be in 2 Corinthians, or as we say in the UK, 2 Corinthians. You can go with either one. And 2 Corinthians, we're going to read from verse 3 to 11. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others when they are troubled. We will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. Even when we are weighed down with troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. For we are confident that you share in our sufferings, you will also share in the comfort God gives us. We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God who raises the dead. And he did rescue us from the mortal danger. And he'll rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us. And you are helping us by praying for us. Then many people give thanks because God has graciously answered so many prayers for our safety. Here we have Paul given an account, a brief summary almost of a season of pain and suffering. He says here that they were pretty much close to death, a harrowing experience that Paul and his followers had. Now, he doesn't go into details. Now, you can read into the back end of Acts, and you can read through all the persecutions, or many of the persecutions that Paul endured, the physical trials on journeys. This guy had some pretty harrowing events happen to him. And so even though he doesn't go into great detail here, if Paul says they went through a real difficult moment, I'm okay saying I believe that. Because we have an historical evidence, an account of this historical true man actually going through many, not just one or two, but many harrowing, difficult, trialing moments that he endured. And so here he is sharing of this whatever had happened. And what I love in verse 9, how the fact it says, in fact, we expected to die. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never been in a moment in my life where I've been, I'm expecting to die right now. Now, I may have been in a few moments where afterwards I maybe thought, woof, that was a little hairy. You know, if I was, we may have all had those moments that we looked back and gone, man, if I was there just a few minutes earlier, something bad could have happened. But I don't think many of us have had a moment where we are, I'm expected to die right now. I'm in a situation where at least 80% of the chance I'm going to die. I have never been in that situation. I mean, this week, I don't know if you guys have been catching up on the news. In the UK, in London, there was a tower, many flats burnt. Hundreds of people in there. And the death toll at the moment is around 60, but it's going to keep on going up. Where people were trapped in this low-income housing. And there's many injustices that happened leading to this event. But people were live chatting on Facebook. People were sending messages to loved ones saying, I'm about to die. Goodbye. To be in that place, it's just unimaginable. To be in a place where you're sending a final message to a loved one saying, this is it. This is it. I'm about to die. It is a pretty unimaginable place to be in. And yet here Paul is sharing this moment. We were about to die. But, thanks be to God, they didn't. Miracle happened. You see, verse 9, in fact, we expected to die. But, as a result of being in a place of going, there's no more hope. We've tried, but there's no more hope. We can't physically do anything more. But as a result, we stop relying on ourselves and learn to rely only on God. He got to a place where he could only rely on God to save them at that moment. He learned a couple of things in this trial. The first that he learned is God is mighty to save. There comes a point in life, whether it's already happened or whether it will happen, when all we can do is cry out to God. When Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, I mean, he could have thought, maybe looked around and goes, okay, is there a ladder? I mean, that would have been the first thing I would have thought, right? You're thrown into a lion's den, there's lions there. I probably wouldn't have just gone, okay, I may have just done a quick look around. Oh, did they leave a ladder up by accident? Nope. Okay. You may have thought as well, okay, well, there's quite a few lions here, and maybe I could take one out. I don't know, but you know, the reality is he won. At that stage, Daniel was, well, I'm going to turn to God on this one, because there was no chance physically, humanly, effort that he was going to survive that. You get Jonah inside of a whale or fish, however you like to say it, stank, and it was dark anyway, so I don't think it really matters. He was inside of this whale or fish. Now, he could have done a whole, you know, Moby Dick thing and tickled its tonsils and hoped it would have spat him out. But the reality is, in that moment in a whale or a fish, really, humanly speaking, he was done for. What did he do? Turned to God in prayer. Cried out in prayer. There comes a stage in life when, yes, we could do stuff. We've been given the ability to think. But there comes a stage where we go, do you know what? I just got to come before God right now. I got to just cry out to God. Paul here, this experience reminded him of how powerful God is to save. How miracles do happen. And I'm sure there are testimonies in this room that can share of how God is mighty to save in your life. And so we pray when someone is sick, when someone hasn't been given the odds to live. We pray because we know God can intervene. We know God has that power. But we also know when we cry out for help, whatever stage of life, state of life, whatever you're in, when we cry out to God, we can cry out in comfort. Comfort knowing that we are crying out to a Savior who has already saved us. We are crying out for help in our physical life, knowing that ultimately even death isn't going to prevent the life that we have in God. We have that security, that comfort. So yes, we cry out. We cry for miracles. Paul would have been, and those following him, at a state of, guys, we just got to go pray. But you know what? I'm sure it wasn't a pray of, I don't want to die, I don't want to die, I don't know what's next. It would have been, Lord, if you're willing, let's keep this journey going. Because knowing that ultimately they have eternal life with him. And that's comforting to know. Which leads us to the second point of what Paul learned in this harrowing moment. It's what real comfort is. This passage talks a lot about comfort. Comfort that we receive in God. But you see, comfort to us can be measured in so many different ways. Comfort in our living from one person is different to other. Comfort compared to luxury, compared to a basic standard of living. We're educated when we grow through school and then work to save so we can have a comfortable life, to have a comfortable retirement, to have certain things in our life to make us more comfortable. Adverts on the TV are there to say, hey, you'll have this, you'll be more comfortable, more happier in your life. But a measurement of comfort to us here even in Canada compared to those in maybe Uganda are going to be a little bit different, or actually a lot different, their standards of comfort compared to ours. We say, oh, you know, easy need, you know, 3 to 4 bedrooms. Like, bedrooms? Level of comfort. But you see, a comfort in God is universal. Not only is it universal that all who cry out to him can receive this peace that is beyond understanding, as Paul talks to those in the church in Philippi, it is also far surpassing than any comfort that you and I could possibly think of, imagine of, or create. That's the great thing of God's comfort. It's far greater than whatever you could purchase, whatever you could go, wherever you can go, should I say. Now, there's nothing wrong, I don't think, in these levels of comfort that we're educated in, until those levels of comfort are desired more than a comfort that we receive only in God. When we desire worldly comfort more than that, that's when idol worship comes into play. We put something above what God can give us. It's the golden calf story from last week. If we read in verse 3 to 5 of this passage that we've been reading together in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, all praise, verse 3, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others when they are troubled. We will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. See, Paul, intentionally in his life, he knows what he's doing is going to be uncomfortable. He knows will bring persecution and trials, but for the glory of God. He's fully aware of that. And in fact, like in my readings this morning, as Jen and I read ahead of a week ahead, just so we're able to preach on these passages, my reading this morning, before the kids ran into our room, which was kind of cool, a little early, but kind of cool, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul actually lists out some of these hardships. He says in verse 3 of chapter 6, we live in such a way that no one will stumble because of us, and no one will find fault with our ministry. In everything we do, we show that we are true ministers of God. We patiently endure troubles and hardships and calamities of every kind. We've been beaten, been put in prison, faced angry mobs, worked to exhaustion, endured sleepless nights, and gone without food. We prove ourselves by our purity and understanding, our patience and our kindness by the Holy Spirit in us. We faithfully preach the truth, God's power working in us. We use the weapons of righteousness in the right hand for attack and the left hand for defense. We serve God whether people honor or despise us, whether they slander us or praise us. We are honest, but they call us imposters. We are ignored, even though we are well known. We live close to death, but we are still alive. We have been beaten, but we have not been killed. He lists in these trials of this world that they've gone through, and it's intentional. His passion is to proclaim the good news of Jesus. That's his passion. And he knows his life that he's leading is going to be very uncomfortable. Yet he experiences a comfort greater than he could ever experience by desiring things of the world. The more he pushed himself, the more he served God, the more he was comforted. The Holy Spirit just gave him more to give him that strength and that peace and assurance that God is with him. When you think of Christ leading up to the cross. Now, we know Christ chose the cross for us, but he did not choose the cross because it was his comfort zone. I mean, he didn't lead up to the cross going, great, I'll take the cross, guys, because that's my comfort zone. You know, crucifixion, that's me. That's kind of my area. I like that. No. He did that willingly for you and I. Paul didn't get up every day knowing he was going to be persecuted, going, oh, bring it on. Get that torture, that being run after by mobs. Oh, that's my comfort zone. But, you know, I'm not really a people person, so you do that job. I'll do the persecution. That's my kind of area. No. They did that so that, well, Jesus did that so we could live. But Paul did that for the glory of God, to kingdom build. Why? Because the story is not his, but it's God's story. And he got it. When we did those shape exercises, the spiritual gift in discernment, if you're sitting here going, I don't have a spiritual gift, seriously, take this test. We'll happy to do it with you because it just hopefully reminds you or opens your eyes to you have passions, you have giftings. But these spiritual gifts, weren't so to find you a comfort zone, a comfortable role. In fact, the personality traits I wasn't so fussed about. The things that we got excited about was the passions. Why? Because if you are passionate about something, you're going to be willing to go the extra mile. You're going to be willing to be uncomfortable to focus on that passion. Whether it be an injustice or whatever spiritual error that might be, if you have that passion in you, you're willing to go the extra mile and you will be blessed by God. So if you're serving already in a ministry, or if you're looking to serve in ministry, don't just look for what might be in a comfort zone for you. Don't just look for a safe, oh, that's a free spot. It only takes up one morning a month or whatever it might be. That's an easy to tick a box of serving. No, you were created for far more than that. You want to experience God in a mighty way? Do you know what? Step out of that comfort zone. He will give you that strength. He will give you that guidance. He'll give you what you need to get through, and you'll give him the glory and not yourself the glory. That's the great thing about it. Being in ministry, there's been many times where we've been doing things that are really uncomfortable to us. Not everything is our comfort zone. We are thankful that in our first ministry together, where Jen and I met in Carlisle, our senior pastor, he believed in us. So much so that his method was, well, I'm going to throw you in the deep end. Kind of a risky thing, but it kind of worked. I don't know. You'll find out. But he chucked us in the deep end. You've not done a funeral? Sure, go for it. You know, I'll be there in the background if you need me, but just go for it. You want to start youth? Well, we don't have any youth. Go and find some. Go for it. And so he just empowers us to do these things. And I remember looking back, we started a youth cafe just full of community kids. And it was such an amazing time in my life. And there was one lad, 18-year-old, he's called Michael. And he had learning difficulties. But the thing about Michael is he was the center of the group. Like, he just, all these other 18-year-old boys normally trying to act cool in front of the girls and all the rest of it, when Michael was around, they would be running around playing cops and robbers. They were doing all kind of crazy stuff just to be with Michael. It was just amazing. So we had this beautiful group. And one day we went out to play in the field. And it was a football field, soccer field, sorry. And we were at one end playing. And at the other end of the field, there was a bunch of 6 or 7 18-year-old guys. And whatever, we were playing our games. And then I started hearing them shout from one end to our end. And Michael started to get really upset. His parents didn't tell us that he had a trigger word. And when he heard this trigger word, he got really, really upset. And so he's getting really upset. And I'm thinking, what's going on, Michael? And he's just screaming and stuff. And they kept shouting this word and laughing as he's getting really upset. And then I clue on what they're doing. And if you know me, I don't like confrontation. But yet, in that moment, I was only like 3 or 4 years older than them. In that moment, that injustice, the passion of that is wrong. He is so upset. He is beside himself from what they're shouting. I just started walking towards these guys. And as I'm walking towards them, I'm kind of thinking, what are you doing? What are you doing? Just take him inside. Just take him inside. And I'm just, eyes are on these guys, and I'm walking. And I get past the halfway line, and I could have started shouting from that distance because it gives me a running. If they start running at me, I could have a head start. But no, I just carry on walking. And in my mind, I remember thinking, seriously, what are you doing? There's like 6 or 7 then. Okay, you're probably 2 or 3 years older than, but they're bigger than me, right? So I'm still walking towards them, and I get, you know, pretty close to them. I mean, probably to the wall here. I mean, I didn't go eyeball to eyeball. That's just crazy. But anyway, I get to them, and it was all God, because clearly and calmly, and I do not do confrontation, just pointed out the injustice. Just said, do you know that you are taking the mick out of an innocent, defenseless person? Because you find all you have to do is point the injustice on people, and then they just look down. And the response from one of them was, go away. And at that moment, you knew, okay, they heard. And as I was walking away, I just felt such an amazing sense, because I went out of a comfort zone. I am not a confrontational guy. I am not a fighting kind of guy. But I was willing in that moment, a passion just took over to confront an injustice. And the blessing in that moment makes me reflect now that I need to do that more. Not just tell stories of almost 10 years ago, but actually, Johnny, you need to be putting yourself more in an uncomfortable situation for God, because that blessing is just incredible. But you may have a passion in you, but you're not going for it simply because it's not in your comfort zone. I encourage you, break down that zone. Allow God to work in you. He gives us the Holy Spirit, which is known as the Comforter. Be comforted. The only way you could be comforted is if you're in an uncomfortable situation. If you're already comfortable, you're not going to be comforted. You need to be uncomfortable to be comforted, if that makes sense. So you've got to be willing to go, I am willing and desiring for the glory of God to put myself in this position. It might be uncomfortable, but you know what? It's not my story anyway. That's a challenge, hopefully, for us as individuals, but also as us as a church. To not be a body that is willing to just to be comfortable, but be a body that is willing to be uncomfortable and be comforted, then to comfort others. Paul says in verse four. There you go. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. It's a chain reaction. Comforting others is called pastoral care. The problem with pastoral care is everyone thinks that's just down to the pastor. Pastoral care, or comforting others, to be blunt, is for all of us. All who experience the comfort of God to respond and comfort someone else. I just want to close with a couple of challenges. Encouragements, even. That's a bit less harsh. If you're going through in a moment of life where you're feeling there is no more hope, are you in a moment in life where, humanly speaking, you're not in a good place? You may be thinking there's not much more hope. Or maybe you've tried various things and they're not working. Whatever it might be. I encourage you to cry out. I encourage you to call out. I encourage you to turn to our Savior. Step out. Experience the comfort that is just beyond our imagination, that only comes from Him. And we, as your brothers and sisters, we want to cry out with you. We want to journey with you in that. But then also, if you're here today and you're feeling a little lukewarm in your relationship with Jesus, I encourage you to seek what's in your heart, what's that passion. I encourage you to be radical and step out of that comfort zone that you're in, whatever that might be. If God has put a passion on you, if you keep seeing something and just almost a righteous anger dwells in of injustice, maybe that's God saying, I want you to do something about it. Or maybe you're seeing a ministry that needs more help. Or whether you're seeing an area in life that there is no ministry going on and you feel we need to start something. Be the pioneer. Allow God to work in you and through you. And man, what blessings that'll be for you and the kingdom. I know with preaching, I'm the same. We listen to sermons online and then it may be great. And 2 days later, you're like, what did he say again? It happens, right? But why don't today be a day that maybe we start that cycle of crying out to God? Maybe we start a cycle in your own life of stepping out of a comfort zone. Asking God, what's in my heart? What's that desire? Who can I be praying for? Where can I be sent? Allow God to be that great comfort and trust in Him alone. Father God, we thank you. Jesus, that we can turn to you for a comfort that is unrivaled. Father, we thank you. Jesus, that we have life in you. Thank you. Father, those here today may be in a moment where they've never been in before, a trial they've never been in before, a life moment that is new to them, and is maybe just overwhelming. Father, we pray, we desire to turn to you. Jesus, we ask for miracles. For those who need healing, we pray for a mighty bar of healing for your glory, Jesus. For those who need a peace, Jesus, that is only found in you, I pray, Father God, for peace in our minds, in our hearts, in our beings. Father, we ask for a comfort that is only of you, Jesus. Lord, for those here today who may be feeling a little lukewarm, maybe you've never experienced this comfort. Lord, that comfort is only from when we dive into you, give our hearts to you. Jesus, what a great day to give our hearts to you. Holy Spirit, we ask that you just fill those that just need to be filled in a mighty way right now, to step out of that comfort zone. Maybe a spark is in them to go somewhere or to just even be within, to do something, whatever it might be, to talk to someone. I don't know. You know, Father. Give them that courage. Give them that strength. Give the words as you gave to Moses, as you give the prophets, as throughout the scriptures, you gave people the right words. Jesus. We ask as a body that we be a church that doesn't want to just stay comfortable. We be a body that desires with an anguish and a deep hunger for those to know Jesus, be willing to be uncomfortable. Jesus. Holy Spirit, we ask you to just fill each one. Jesus. In a powerful name. In the name of Jesus. Amen. The altars are open. Feel to pray for that comfort, that peace. Whether that's been a prayer of yours right now that you've decided to follow Jesus, let it be known that we can journey with you and celebrate with you. Peace be with you, dear brothers and sisters. And may God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you the love with faithfulness. May God's grace be eternally upon all who love our Lord Jesus Christ. Have a blessed week. We encourage you, if you can, to come tonight and we pray together. Pray for each other. Have a blessed week.